Welcome to ATS Mix.
And I think until you start asking questions, you know, you're just going to buy whatever's offered to you on the 6 o'clock news.
ATS Mix.
This isn't a talk show, it's a freak show.
From AboveTopSecret.com.
I'd also be skeptical of the people who are out there selling conspiracy theories.
The Internet's most popular conspiracy theory discussion board. ATS Mix. From AboveTopSecret.com.
In the name of Christ, just let us in!
Starts now.
And welcome to the ATS Mix. I'm Johnny Anonymous.
And I'm Dave Rabbit. Welcome to our show. John, how are you doing out there in the California hills, bro?
Well, this foreign country is doing just fine.
No more water problems?
At this time, no. Some overcast skies, but haven't seen any rain or anything, although they got some snow a couple of days ago up in the mountains.
Really? Do you guys ever get chocolate rain out there?
Not chocolate rain, but we get hit by animals sometimes.
Really?
Yes. You know, in biblical times, it rained frogs.
Did it really?
Yeah.
Well, I know, of course, you being an ex-minister and stuff, I mean, I know it rained frogs. Did it rain anything else that you can think of?
No, not in biblical times, although I hear currently, in present day times, there has been a sighting of rabbit rain.
Oh, really?
Yes.
The little furry creatures or your partner?
Yes.
Okay. I know, we're getting silly and we haven't got started on the show yet, folks. But
we should probably tell everybody why we're referring to rabbit rain, because there's a viral video that's out by a gentleman by the name, he's 25 years old, his name is Tay Zondig, I believe is his name.
Right,
and he's got a song called Chocolate Rain, and Dave was screaming plagiarism because he'd written a song a while back called Rabbit Rain.
You know, I saw it today when I was trying to see how ours compared to his.
Yeah.
He's had over like 17 million views of Chocolate Rain. Now, we just put ours up to date now. We're sitting at 70-something. But I'm telling you, we're going to catch up fast, John.
We may even play a little bit of Rabbit Rain on the show so people know.
Well, that'd be great. Yeah. And if not, they can see the video at the end of the show thread here in about 35 other places that have placed the YouTube shortcut. Because, listen, you know, Johnny and I don't make any money on ATS Mix. We figure we got to make money somewhere. So what we're trying to do is we're pimping ourselves through YouTube. We've got one hell of a show, John. I mean, all kidding aside, we've got the authors of Truth at Last, which is the book that's been 40 years in the making on the assassination of Martin Luther King, and I'm talking about the brother of James Earl Ray, John Larry Ray, and his co-author, Lyndon Barston.
And as a matter of fact, since we don't have a mystery guest this time, because we know who the mystery guest is, he actually adds a little bit at the end of the interview, because he was actually directly involved in sending some information over while Mr. Ray was in prison.
Amazing stuff. It really
is. Absolutely. And, of course, we've got sightings from all around the world.
And speaking of sightings, I believe we're gonna lose one of our favorites, aren't we?
Yes. Young lady by the name of Barb Campbell, who is a SPPRC in Canada. She is no longer going to be involved with that group, and so she is going to be dropping out. And so we would like to put out a quick 411, if you will, to everybody. If you happen to live in Canada or Japan or Australia, in a country other than the United States, we would like to consider you to being one of our international correspondents. And if you'd like to get a hold of us, you can call us at 1-877-417-2204. That's a toll-free number for Canada and the United States. And or you can contact me at johnny@atsmix.com. Or you can send me a U2U if you are a member at ATS Mix.
And then, of course, we have our weekly show with the Skeptic Overlord. And I thought he had a pretty good show. He wanted to have a funnier show, but I mean, I thought it was a pretty amazing show. And then, of course, I don't want to spoil the surprise, but then we have some minor complications when we call the Springinator. So anyway, let's go ahead and rock, John. I'm anxious to hear the finished product on the interview with the Truth at Last story.
All right, let's do it.
This is ATS Mix.
What? Whoa, whoa, what am I hearing?
What is this?
From above topsecret.com.
Oh, crap!
Here are your anomalous sightings
from around the world.
Reporting sightings from around Europe. This is Sam Willey of AlienationSam.com and UFO-radio.net. This week, a UFO photographed over Wigan, England. On Friday, March 14th, a man captured an unusual ball of light running right to left across the sky. The man, who wishes to remain anonymous, stated that as the object flew over the old folks' home and reached the end of the roofline, it suddenly changed direction and appeared to go straight up in the sky and away from his location at the same time. The man also stated that in a matter of seconds, the size of the object had decreased to the size displayed on the mobile phone footage the witness captured. The anonymous reporter then stated that the UFO changed direction again to travel right to left, again without transition or arc, and this action occurred in an instant. At this point, the man began to video the incident and reported to the Wigan Today newspaper that he had no idea what he had captured, but it was something well weird. The witness has ruled out a number of explanations as to what the orange ball of light may have been. Wigan Today is asking for any further witnesses to come forward with any information regarding the sighting. This is Sam Willey reporting for AboveTopSecret.com.
These are the reported sightings over the United States. This is David C. In Sun City, Florida, two viewers observed a triangular object. It sat motionless about 10 feet above the only house in the area when suddenly lights appeared at its tips. The tips were not pointed, but rather rounded. The lights were amber and showed around the corners. The object was at least 30 feet across and appeared aluminum, but turned dark metallic as it moved slowly and without a sound out into the street. In the middle of the street, it flipped on its axis. It was now perfectly perpendicular. The depth of the object was calculated at about 2 feet. Then it sped away at a high rate of speed while still straight up and down like a pencil. One light at the top and one at the bottom. The craft never flattened out. It became a dot in the horizon that disappeared. In Indiana, a viewer was outside on a clear and warm day when he looked up and saw an object that looked like an overturned cereal bowl. It looked to be made of something similar to polished aluminum, and it glinted in the sunlight. The object was observed 100 feet east of the observer and approximately 100 to 200 feet off the ground. In Missouri, a low-flying object was observed by a viewer while driving near Route 66. The driver said, "I noticed some lights really low in the sky to the left of the road. At first, I thought it was a helicopter and rolled down my window to listen and see if it was. But there was no noise whatsoever. It was just gliding slowly across the road. There were three white lights in a triangle on the bottom, and around the edge there were all different colored lights strobing in a line around it. It must have been about 40 feet across, if not more. I could not distinguish a shape, just the lights. It went directly over my car and was only a couple of hundred feet or less above me." This is David C., reporting for AboveTopSecret.com.
From Canada, this is Barb Campbell of SPPRC.com. Amber-colored UFOs were reportedly seen in Port Hardy, B.C. on the night of March 29th around 11 p.m. The witness reported to HBCC UFO that on three separate intervals he had observed amber-colored lights within a period of 2 to 3 minutes. No sound, with start-stops. Some circular and then linear flight patterns, dull in brightness compared to the other stars on this clear, starry night. Clearly discernible activity and nothing erratic in the speed patterns. On March 26th at 6:15 p.m., a witness from Sudbury, Ontario, had observed between 6 and 8 bright lights. In a report to HBCC UFO, the witness was looking out a window, then saw a light going across the sky in the vicinity of the usual planes traveling to the airport. Realizing it was too big and in wrong shape to be a plane, the witness thought it was a meteorite falling to the earth, then tried to follow its descent, but it gained speed and darted out of the line of sight. Then suddenly it veered upwards. 5 to 7 more of these big, bright circles appeared, moving erratically, jetting back and forth quickly, almost too quickly to keep track of. Then they all quickly darted out of the line of sight behind a big fir tree. In the early hours of March 22nd, a witness from Vancouver North Shore was outside having a cigarette when suddenly two amber-colored lights appeared in an undeveloped area of Grouse Mountain. There are no roads, houses, or lights in this part of the mountain. The lights from the ski runs had been shut off, and only the chalet lights and the aircraft warning lights were on. but these are located at the crest of the mountain. There has never been lights there before, and the witness states that they have lived in the area for the past 18 years. HBCC UFO is currently investigating this case. On March 25th at 10:45 p.m., a witness went out on the deck to have a smoke and then saw a large orange light float high above the Halifax Harbor. It was right off McDonald Bridge. It was not moving until it moved slowly straight up, remaining in the same spot for about 4 minutes until it moved towards land. When it got closer, the witness could see that there were no wings. Five lights radiated from the center of the craft, two in the left center, two on the right center, and one in the lower center. The witness also stated to HBCC UFO that video had been captured. This is Barb Campbell with a final report for AboveTopSecret.com.
The ATS Mod Squad. To serve and protect the AboveTopSecret.com community from idiots, spammers, one-line posters, and trolls. If you want to come to AboveTopSecret.com and make intelligent contributions to our community, no problem. If not, prepare thyself to be Mod Squadded. The ATS Mod Squad, a group of dedicated members with the toughest job in the world, keeping civility on our home. A Three Amigos production.
And now it's time for a different view. This is the Skeptic Overview.
And welcome back to the ATS Mix. We're so glad that you stayed with us. And right now, of course, it is time for the Skeptic Overview. And, of course, that means we've got Bill Urban online with us. Hi, Bill. How you doing?
Hello there. I'm doing okay. How are you guys doing?
We're not doing bad, boss. What's going on there in the up there in the coal country?
Oh, the Great White North?
Yeah.
Actually, it's not too bad. There's actually sunshine today.
Really?
So, yeah, we can see across the street now.
Well, what's the temperature in Buffalo today?
It's low 40s.
You know, it's 88 degrees here in Dallas.
That's just awesome. I'm just so proud of you.
It's ridiculous. I mean, yesterday it was 36. It's crazy.
Wow.
All right, well, what kind of show you got? I know you got a lot of exciting things to talk about.
We're going to cover pretty much just the, just do a gloss over on some of the threads that are getting a lot of attention on ATS. And there's one in particular that I saw that maybe I'm not necessarily going to cover what was discussed in the thread, but sort of give you my take on the position raised by the opening. The number one thread for the week garnered almost 500 replies, not too many flags, though, posted by Master Wee. It's titled, FBI sets up fake child porn links that, if clicked, trigger armed raids on users. And this is indeed a news item that was popular all over the internet. It was on Slashdot. It was on Dig. This item got a lot of attention throughout the internet. He opens up, the FBI has recently adopted a novel investigation technique, posting hyperlinks that purport to be illegal videos of minors having sex, and then raiding the homes of anyone willing to click on them. Undercover FBI agents use this hyperlink enticement technique, which directed internet users to a clandestine government server to stage armed raids on homes in Pennsylvania. And actually, what would happen is, it would track your IP address and time that you clicked, and boom, that would trigger, the FBI raiding your house in uniform and weapons drawn. And quite a few people were snagged by this. So that raised a lot of controversy. It seems to be crossing the line into a number of areas that two of the people caught in this raid have their browsers, and I believe in this case they were both using Opera. You can configure Opera to use what's called pre-caching, where Opera attempts to cache portions of the pages that are linked on the page you're seeing while you're reading it to speed up your browsing process. So automatically, the Opera browser had gone in and clicked the link for you to try to get a little bit of that target page in the event you clicked on it.
Wow.
You follow what I'm saying? And so two of the people in these raids, were legitimately having their browser set up to that effect. They didn't click on the link. It's just their browser started to cache the content that was contained in the link. And they still got nailed in this raid.
Yeah.
Before we get to our next topic, I just want to add this little disclaimer that in no way is part of the coincidence of Dave and I suddenly getting visited by the FBI. This had nothing to do with this incident.
I'm sure it has nothing to do with that as well, yes. The next most popular threat, America's 14,000-mile 24-hour secret transit system with 268 flags, authored by JCrog08, and it's a pretty interesting thread about a long-standing conspiracy theory about an underground tube-type train system, or VHST, very high-speed transit system that crisscrosses the U.S. for the elite in the government and the secret transportation that they need to get across the country. Next is our third most popular thread of the week. A girl died as parents prayed instead of seeking help. 249 flags, authored by Nick H. And yes, an 11-year-old girl. Where was this? Oh, it doesn't say it, but I believe I was in Virginia when I saw this story in mainstream news. Excuse me, died from a very treatable form of diabetes. And her parents just, you know, didn't want to go to the doctor. They prayed about their child's illness instead. Mm-hmm. Another
I'm passing. I'm not going to make a comment.
Yeah, we could go all mm-hmm. over this one. This mm-hmm. could be a 30-minute show all by itself. Mm-hmm. Number four in overall popularity in breaking news, authored by member Shar with 242 replies. U.S. warship opens fire in Suez Canal. And, it appears as though, I don't know if it was accidental, I didn't have a lot of chance to catch up on this one. It was a busy week for the Overlord. But there was a U.S. warship that opened fire on a boat in the Suez Canal, killing one man. And it's unclear as to whether or not they felt this guy in his small sporting vessel was a threat. But that appears to be the nature of this story. Number five in overall popularity, started the week rather quick. And ended up getting the dreaded hoax tag in the title. And the title of the thread, How Deep Does the Rabbit Hole Go?
It wasn't authored by Dave Rabbit.
Yeah, and I clicked on that. I thought maybe it was some kind of, you know, yeah, promotion or whatever I wasn't aware of, you know.
Well, you were right. You were talking about chafing your butt earlier.
We actually yeah, really. Sorry.
So, but as it turns out, this was a rather interesting hoax. And we tend to be getting threads that are of a hoax nature like this pretty much once every 2 weeks now, aren't we?
Yeah,
pretty much.
At least.
Yeah.
That are confirmed to be that way.
You know what cracks me up about all these? They always do the same thing. And in the precursor of the thread, I'm going to share a lot of information with you. Well, you know, if they had some information, don't you think they would just go ahead and share it right then?
Yeah. Or, yeah, they would.
Rather than the build-up.
Yeah. Right.
Well, you know, it's not as dramatic. And if you're going to do a hoax, it's all about the drama, isn't it?
Yeah,
of course. Yeah, really.
Next in popularity is a really interesting thread that I highly recommend as a good read. It's titled "Let's Explore a Different Theory About 9/11" and authored by Sea Salt. 210 replies. One of the overall better threads in recent memory on 9/11 conspiracy theory that are in that particular form. A highly recommended read. Next up. Titled Florida School Security Officer Tasers an 11-year-old Girl. 182 replies, and the author is Mega Curious. And yes, indeed, there was a cantankerous 11-year-old girl in an Orange County school in Florida, and the security officer couldn't get the girl to cooperate, so what'd they do? Tase him! Tase him! Tase him! And there you go. I don't know if she said, don't tase me, bro.
I was just going to ask.
Yeah, as she's hitting the pavement, don't tase me, bro.
You know, that's the interesting theory, too, about that line that literally made it into popular culture. The guy, that was a 9/11 truther. That was a guy, right. You know, screaming 9/11 stuff at right. It was a John Kerry.
John Kerry.
Event, and you know, then you don't tase me, bro. From that became a national phenomenon. It was pretty interesting. So next and final, the thread author on this one is, I can't even begin to pronounce it. It must be some kind of acronym, Grimeje 213. Grimeje 213. Who knows? Why do 90% of you hate America? 181 replies, and he begins. All right, I've been reading these boards off and on for about 2 years now and never really bothered to make an account. Just like to read what other people had to say and such, but I have decided now that I have a good question for all these people on the forums that bash America and say all these outlandish things like 9/11 was an inside job, that Bush is a reptile, he is trying to take over the world. My question to you folks is, why, if you dislike this country so much and think these thoughts, and think all these thoughts. He mangled a little bit here. Why don't you buy a plane ticket and get out of here? Because honestly, we don't need people like you bringing this country down. And he has a little bit more for his opening post, but that's really the thought that he begins with. And we've seen over the years with running 9/11 that a lot of people have that misunderstanding about what's going on sites like AboveTopSecret.com. It's not that it's a completely wrong take on what we're trying to accomplish here. It's not that we hate America. It's that we're really concerned about America, and there's some really crazy stuff, terrible stuff going on that is causing that. Yeah, that really is causing a lot of people in the world to hate America, and we're trying to get to the bottom of it. I mean, it's not because we hate America. It's because we care. And because we care, and the members of ATS that are American citizens and would like to see things be better in this country, that's my take on why we're trying to dig into these topics and find out what's really going on. And but we see this a lot, where mainstream media has sort of created this persona of conspiracy theorists as crazy people that hate their country, and we know who participate here every day. We know that's not the case. We're sane, we're normal, and we have questions, and we want to find answers to the questions. I'm sure have seen this attitude in people quite a bit. I'm sure.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. You know what chaps my butt about this, and I'll make this brief. But what chaps my butt about this is that, you know, just because people question authority or question motive or question agenda doesn't mean that they're anti-American or that they're anti-anything. It just simply means they'd like a simple explanation for what does not seem on the up and up. And that's just the bottom line as far as I see it.
And isn't actually the whole idea about questioning a process what America was actually kind of built on? I mean, think about our forefathers. If it wasn't for their questioning an authoritarian figure, we would not be existing in this current situation that we're in now.
Absolutely. And you know, this goes to, I guess, you know, just as you were talking, Johnny, this goes to sort of one of the things that I feel are a relatively deep and broad-based conspiracy that has been going on for some time, and that's in the way our school system is currently set up and has evolved to operate. We don't teach people to think. We don't teach children to think. We teach them what to memorize for the next test.
Right.
We teach them to listen to their teachers, listen to what the teachers are saying, memorize these things, and you'll pass your test, you go on to the next grade, and so on and so on and so on. And by the time they get to the college, they've never really learned how to think. And this kind of reaction where someone is constantly accepting what he's given is really a very common reaction from people who are a very nice product of the school system where no one learns how to think.
Yeah. It's sad.
It is sad. We you know, like you say, we could, in the old Skeptic Overlord format, we could talk about this for hours and hours and hours.
It's cutting me short, man.
Yeah, I know, but we have important things to do on your show, Bill. I know, you know, I know it's your show.
It doesn't seem like it all the time, but
I know it seems like it's your show, but we don't give a rat's ass. We have other things to do. We have other agendas. So the first is we want to go to a couple of member questions before we reach the end of your show, and we have a special thing for you, Bill. I think you're really going to enjoy.
Yeah,
you have a special thing for me.
Yeah,
we have a special thing for you, and it's not mail order.
Yeah, and it doesn't require D batteries.
That's right.
Do I have to click a link? I better not click a link.
It just requires your ears, and I'm sure you've never heard that before. What we have here is we have a little segment here that we were going to include into what's called Ask Dave and Johnny, but since this message is pertinent to you, sir, we thought that we would pose it on your show. So at this time, I'd like to play right now a message that we got through our 1-877 toll-free number here at ATS.
Yeah, this is Cracker. I was actually calling to complain about the annoying hello, hello, hello ads and see if you guys could find out from Bill in your weekly interview why I have to hear hello, 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 hello every time I come onto the site. But now I want to know why Mark sounds so much like the movie phone guy. Why on earth do I have to call up and hear his movie phone voice on this machine? I'm the one in charge of the bills. I'm saying now, let's hire somebody with a better voice to do the voiceover on the contact ATS phone calls. And can we please get rid of the hello, 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 hello? Thank you. Bye.
And, of course, that was from a member Cracker that sent that in. And so what are your thoughts there, Senor Bill?
Well, I can't really help us with Mark's voice because, you know, if you've talked to Mark, he tends to think he has an awesome voice. So we can't.
And his dreams.
Yes. So anyway, that message is like 3 weeks old, isn't it?
Yes.
Sorry, we're a little behind schedule at the ATS Mix.
Yeah, that came in at a day where we had a flood of new ads with audio in it, and that has long since been fixed. And from time to time, that happens. I had gone into one of the ad networks to look at the control panel and made a couple minor changes. A few days later, that had opened the floodgates for, I don't know if it was my mistake or just simply that the changes allowed some other changes to eventually be come into our account. But that opened the floodgates for one advertiser that we had previously banned who came in under a different domain name than before. And then on top of that, it was just a coincidence that on that particular Monday, a whole bunch, well, not a whole bunch, maybe three other advertisers had audio in their ads, all started at the same time.
Well, I would just like to assure not only Cracker, but everybody else now that message has been changed. In fact, when you call up the toll-free 877 number, this is what you hear now.
You've reached the ATS Mix hotline of AboveTopSecret.com and the Above Network LLC. If you'd like to leave a message for Dave Rabbit or Johnny Anonymous, please do so, and they'll get back to you, or if you want, they'll play it on the air. Have a great day, and thanks for calling ATS Mix.
Record your message at the tone. When you have finished recording, press pound. To cancel, press star.
So that should make Cracker a lot happier now. Of course, we can't do anything about the movie phone voice, as you already said.
All right, well, before we end your show, if I don't ask one off the member questions, I'm going to get a bunch of U2Us, and God, I hate those. And it's just one question. We're going to go to the member questions on Ask the Skeptic Overlord. If you will go to the member Ask the Skeptic Overlord thread that's on the ATS Mix information site, you can ask your own questions that we will ask Bill on his show. And this is the one question we're going to get in. And this is from member. I love this. His member name is Tit O'Wright. His question is this, Bill. He would like to see selective advertising, meaning what have you ever considered, Bill, not running, and I don't know what this means, DHS advertising? What's DHS?
Department of Homeland Security?
Well, I don't know. What is DHS?
Yeah, that's what it is.
He just said.
What are you, a parrot? No. I mean, I've never seen any Department of Homeland Security advertising.
Yeah, I have.
On our site?
Yeah. Oh, sure.
Really?
It was a banner for, you know, their hiring.
Oh, really?
An employment ad.
Well, it shows you how much Dave reads.
Well, which Dave is zero.
Well, okay, so I was wrong. I thought it was going like Dallas something high school, Dallas high school advertising. I'm trying to figure it out. All right, anyway.
Well, was that the question? I don't
well,
know.
Well, yeah. He wants to know if you ever thought about doing selective advertising other than the Department of Homeland Security.
Yeah, we are working on some selective advertising, but for the past almost year now, all of the ads that are appearing on the site come from a collection of seven different networks that provide the display ads. So, but we do have some stuff in the works that should be very interesting and that could give us some very cool things for our members to do.
Johnny, are we out of time, or do we have time for one more?
Yeah, I'll make time for this one question, but from the member the Borg, and I'm going to summarize what he asked. He says, we've managed to make it, Bill, to a huge milestone, the 10-year anniversary. Where do you see us in the next 10 years? What do you see ATS being at that time? And also, is it your belief that ATS is going to be able to change how MSM is reporting to the people? And maybe you can tell people what MSM is.
Here's a quick question. What's ATS going to be like in 10 years?
Yeah.
Sorry. MSM is mainstream media. And what we're trying to shape from ATS and our whole revolution event is creating a method whereby anyone can participate in shaping their favorite media. In the case of ATS, we're branching out into radio, and as you guys and our listeners know, we're branching out into book publishing, we're branching out into videos and possibly even television, and more. And the idea is that the members of ATS can log in and directly shape how those things take form. Participate in the radio show, give ideas for the show, give ideas for the books, work with the authors who are actually creating AboveTopSecret.com branded books and create the kind of books they would like to read. That's how we see ATS evolving into being a force that helps people participate in their media, and hopefully even at some point evolving into something that is considered an important news source that people are involved in deciding what is covered.
I well, like it.
Bill, I appreciate your time as always, and we look forward to talking to you again next week on the next Skeptic Overlord show.
All right, hopefully next week it'll be more fun than this week.
Ouch.
Ooh, well, I thought it was fun.
I just said more fun. I didn't say this week wasn't fun.
Oh, okay.
Hopefully next week will be more fun.
Yeah, well,
maybe send those U2Us to Skeptic Overlord
at
ATSMix.com.
Anyway, thanks, Bill, for your time. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Bill.
Have fun, guys.
All right, bye-bye.
Rabbit rain. Some get wet and others feel the strain. Rabbit rain. 100 bunnies born by their kin. Rabbit rain. The farmer's wife says they are here again. Rabbit rain. Dropping stinky pellets showing where they've been. Rabbit rain. They'll eat all their garden beer and that's for sure. Rabbit rain. They mate so fast that they are just a blur. Rabbit rain. Always looking for a fight with Elmer Fudd. Rabbit rain. A bunny rabbit they can't seem to kill or trap. Rabbit rain. With ears that no TV can ever use. Rabbit rain. A lucky foot that hangs around their neck. Rabbit rain. The farmer's wife fries them up, grilled nice and crisp to eat. Rabbit brain. And when they're born, they're also cute and also fluff. Rabbit brain. The taxidermist wants to see them all get stuffed. Rabbit brain. Four-legged feasts that recycle all that they stole. Rabbit brain. They run and escape deep down in their hole. Rabbit brain. They're driving me crazy in my frazzled brain. Rabbit brain. That WhatsApp doc is driving me insane. Rabbit brain. This song seems to ramble on and has no end. Rabbit brain. We really didn't think it would be this hard and long. Rabbit brain. Not to be confused with Tay's chocolate rain. Rabbit brain. Or with Prince's movie hit. Purple rain, rabbit rain. Oh, the pain. Oh, the pain.
Rabbit rain.
Now, from the very top of AboveTopSecret.com, it's time to catch up with Springer, a.k.a. Mark Allen. This is Springer Sprung.
This segment is being brought to you by Maker's Mark, the drink of champions. When is the best time to enjoy a drink? Well, according to Springer, it's always 5 o'clock somewhere in the world.
And thanks for staying with us on the ATS Mix. It is the Springer Sprung, and we've just dialed those magic numbers up. And so, how you doing today, Springer?
Doing all right.
Well, good. So what's happening up there in the territory right now, brother? Anything?
No, nothing going on here in Oklahoma.
Your voice sounds a little different there, Mark.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Who the hell is this?
This is not Springer. Springer has been unsprung. You got Cracker today.
Oh, what the hell are you doing at Springer's house?
The Krakenator. What are you doing at Oklahoma, brother?
I'm down there playing Cowboys and Indians.
Do you have a little costume?
I don't. Mark actually has his little feathered cap on. He's running around the backyard.
Oh, man, what a puss. So he's out back. Oh, I know what he's doing. He's got that new barbecue grill. He's out there trying to cook stuff, right?
No, actually, the truth is the Above Network is experiencing a cash crunch. Mark is actually down at the local Shop Mart charging per courtesy flush in the urinal and stalls.
Oh, God. Next, you'll tell us he's shopping at the Dollar Tree.
Times are tough. Times are tough.
Yeah, well, he's got to pay for that grill. What did that thing set him back? $700 or something? Jeez.
I don't know, but he's been talking about smoked meat a lot lately.
Oh, Christ. Well, that's a
story in itself.
Yeah, that's a 60s flashback. You know? Smoked meat. Yeah, that's what they call it back then, baby.
Well, you know, actually, I'm glad we got you on here, Stephen, because there's something I've been dying to ask you for a long time, and since you're going to be pseudo-guest hosting here for the Springer, now would probably be a good time to ask. You know, you just recently took a trip down to New Mexico with Mark. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about what that trip was all about?
Sure. We, back in November, I think about a week after Thanksgiving, maybe, we went to Clifford Stone's house to check out his Freedom of Information Act archive. I was actually brought along for the sole purpose two purposes. Number one, being a skeptic, Mark figured if I was convinced of the documents and the story they told, then anybody would be convinced. And number two, I do think Mark has a little bit of a man crush on me. So I think he wanted my companionship.
We'll edit that part out.
No, I love that part. No, it needs to have. We're not editing that crap.
We'll admit to it.
We're leaving it in there. Man crush. Man crush. Go ahead.
That's what he gets for not being here today. But yeah, so we flew down there. I think it was a Thursday night, Friday afternoon, and Saturday we spent the day at Clifford's house checking out the documents. And I was sick on Saturday, so we came in Friday. We got the car. We met up with a couple other people that we were supposed to meet there, and pretty much just went out for dinner. Went to some honky tonk bar. It was ladies' night. I'd never been to a cowboy bar. And
well, what were y'all doing on ladies' night?
There weren't that many ladies there. So
yeah, I was going to ask, which one of you dressed up as the lady on that one?
That would be Mark.
There you go.
But the Roswell ladies' night is certainly a trip. Let's leave it at that. It was an early night for us. I don't know, maybe like 11:30, 12 o'clock we got back. And I spent the entire night under the grips of some kind of strange ailment. And the entire day at Clifford's house, running to the bathroom to discreetly vomit.
Wow.
I don't know, and Cliff, if you listen to this, I did clean up after myself every single time.
Well, I'm sure he knows that you did now.
Well, now he does. I don't know if they knew at the time, but Mark later had said that I looked like I might need to go to the hospital. I was so bad.
Oh, wow.
But I still managed to get through the full day checking out the documents, and obviously I was convinced because we then took those documents and shopped them around to the various media outlets who didn't see what we saw.
Well, wow. Was there any one particular document that kind of just really struck a nerve on you?
Not any one. What Clifford did was, and he sort of told us about it afterwards, but what he did was he was laying stuff out for us. You know, right. Check this out. I'm just handing us stuff, and you know, for those of you that don't know, Cliff might have about 400 million pieces of paper in stacks all over, filed, and he knows where everything is, but all over his house. And he basically just would pull a pack out and tell us, this has got some stuff in here you'll be interested in, and very little else. And we pieced together what he wanted us to see. And, you know, I can't really go into specific documents because until we actually bring those online, we don't want anyone to know exactly which ones they are. But these documents do pretty much show that the government lies about their investigation into UFOs and, well, not we will say UFOs, we'll just say strange phenomena in the sky.
Right.
They're pretty compelling when you put them all together the way we saw them.
And so now are you a believer?
I never was a disbeliever in alien visitation or UFOs or what have you, or unexplainable things in the sky. I still won't go into what I do or don't believe in some of the stuff that's, you know, more prevalent in today's discussion on it, but these documents pretty much lay it out for you. There's really no denying what's in them. And the government doesn't seem to be denying it either. They just deny that they're investigating,
right?
Which is the big lie.
Yeah, and you know what's really amazing? I remember Mark calling me up. You know, he calls me every day, just about.
Yeah, and probably said, every time he doesn't call me, he calls.
Yeah,
me.
Yeah. he rotates between Bill, you, and I.
I don't think he calls Bill. Bill's all emails.
Oh well, yeah. I hate those stupid emails. My God! And by the way, what the deal was the frog email chain? The frog chain letter.
I cannot divulge the story of the frogs, but I can just say that Mark has a fear of frogs.
Oh, does he really?
He does now.
It probably all surfaces back from when he used to lick the backs of frogs years ago.
Those were toads. Those were toads, not frogs. But all I can tell you is that if in the middle of a conversation one of you just decided to go, frogs, he'd probably lose it.
Well, that's great knowledge to know.
Yeah, yeah,
there you go.
Especially since Johnny told me when we talked the other night, he says, he was having problems with his computer. He opened up his email. He had like 30 emails, and 23 of them were the three of you sending frog pictures back to each other.
And wait a minute. Simon and Bill have no idea what the frogs really are either. They were just going right along with it.
Yeah, I saw Simon's email. He says, "Will somebody tell me what the frog's about?" Of course, you can't tell that lingo in his email. All right, Stephenator. Listen, we really appreciate you jumping in for the Springinator show. And I said Crackinator. Did I say Springinator or Crackinator? I don't know what
it is. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. We all know who we're talking to, the Crackinator. Anyway, brother, we really appreciate you taking the time, especially since you're in your busiest time of the year in, you know, up there in the suites of New York City playing a Power Magnet, you know, so...
I will, anytime you guys need me, be available. Anytime Springer gets his skirt caught in the door, just give me a buzz.
Well, this could be like a Johnny Carson thing. This may be where it's a Springer sprung, but he's never there.
And he's guest host, yeah.
That's right. That's right. We could do that. We could replace him. Just, you know, send a couple of frogs his way. He'll never leave the house.
I have some news for you, my friend. They have changed. They have changed that damn message, although we were unable to do anything about Mark's voice. He still sounds like the movie phone guy.
Oh, God.
Yeah, he does change
it. You've reached the ATS hotline.
But yeah, at least there's no more, hello, hello.
No, the hello thing.
Was an advertisement about the icon things or something?
I was here, you know, I'm working until about 11 o'clock every night. And one night, this was a couple weeks ago before the ads had changed over again, because I don't think they're on anymore, although I don't seem to get too many ads. But I took a break from my work, and I went onto the site, and I wasn't really paying attention. All of a sudden, I heard, hello, hello, hello. And I just lost it. I called up Mark screaming at him, and I just kept yelling, hello, hello. And, I mean, he was floored. He could not stop laughing. So I told him I'd call in and I'd do the message.
Well, he's been on our buttocks for 2 weeks. Yeah, it's 3 weeks late, but what the care? You know,
we got him.
Steve-O. We got it up, Steve-O. Got to be happy for that. All right, one last question. When you went to that ladies' bar, you know, on a ladies' night,
yeah.
How many times did Mark bitch that Western, I'm sure it was like a country and Western bar?
It was a real cowboy bar, yeah. It was, there were guys in cowboy hats. And
did they have Maker's Mark?
They actually did have Maker's Mark.
I cannot believe it.
Well, here's the best part about it. It's right next to a liquor store.
So he went and bought
it. So if they didn't have it, they would have ran and got it. But they had everything. But it was the kind of bar, and this is the best way to describe it, as we got drunker, the girls actually got uglier.
Oh! Never heard that
Which
one before.
We they kept telling us that it gets better, so we kept hanging out, and at some point we realized that the girls were getting uglier, and we were trying to figure out the rationale behind that, because one of us was clearly drinking. I was driving that night, so Mark was drinking a little bit more than I was, but don't drive drunk, you know, the whole thing. But Mark was really amazed by how much uglier the women were getting.
Wow.
And we tried to figure out why, and we couldn't. But Roswell's a fun town. It really is. The people there were great, and according to Mark, when he called to rent the car, they knew who the Above Top Secret crew were, and they hooked us up with a good car and all that. It was kind of fun.
Well, cool.
The one without the microphones and cameras.
Yeah, really. Yeah. Yeah, the ones that aren't wiretapped.
Right.
All right, well, listen, Steve-O, thanks for hopping in at the last second and doing a guest host for the Springinator, brother.
Anytime.
All right, man. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, guys.
Bye, Steve.
So long.
This is Agent X, You may know me as the secret informant for Dave and Johnny's ATS Mix Show. But a lot of you may not know is that I chose their show because AboveTopSecret.com is the only website out there that covers all the subjects that I love, whether it's a conspiracy about 9/11 or the secret United Nations meetings with extraterrestrials. I know I'm going to get the need-to-know updated information that I crave. I'd tell you more, but then I'd have to kill you. X out.
A-T-S Mix Featured Interview.
And welcome back, listeners. We're very pleased to have with us a ATS Mix exclusive interview. With us is the brother of James Earl Ray, John Larry Ray, and historian and lecturer Lyndon Barston. You know, this April 4th will mark the 40th year anniversary of the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. John Larry Ray is determined to right a 40-year-old wrong and clear his older brother's name and begin to get at the truth of who really did kill Dr. King. Lyndon Barston articles have appeared in Newsweek, USA Today, Atlantic Monthly, and the Los Angeles Times. Together, they have authored the book Truth at Last, The Untold Story of James Earl Ray and the Assassination of Martin Luther King Jr. It is their hope that this long overdue book will help reveal information about the assassination of Dr. King, possibly prevent even the James Earl Ray conspiracy from successfully completing its last phase, which would be to fade into history without the safety of an unchallenged silence. It is a very big honor for both Dave Rabbit and Johnny Anonymous to have on the ATS Mix with us right now, John Ray and Lyndon Barston. Hello, gentlemen. How are you?
Dave. Thank you very much for having us on.
Well, guys, listen, we really do appreciate it. This is a much-anticipated interview with both of you, and I'm going to kind of get things started here. John, you know, your father was, in some people's estimation, what they would consider a small-time hoodlum or criminal. When you were growing up as a kid, John, did having a family environment of that kind, do you think it influenced you and James Earl?
Very much so. He's a fisherman justice. In fact, he set a record. He's not listing a book against a record, but he's a fisherman justice for around 60-some years. And each place he'd go, we moved to, he had to change his name. We all had these different names in different schools. And so naturally, that was probably the main reason. Even today, all his offspring, my brothers and sisters, all had different names and by living in that type of environment.
Well, did you ever see any particular violence that your father may or may not have done that affected you, do you think, or your brother?
No. Speaking of my father, he's kind of a, I would say he's a nonviolent person. He wasn't very well educated, and he spent his young days as more or less a hobo riding freight trains around the United States back in his days. And he didn't actually commit any big crimes. It more or less, like you mentioned, petty type of crimes, stealing a cow here and there, and something like that. See.
You were born in 1933 on Valentine's Day. What was it like growing up in that period of time? I mean, obviously, from a black-white issue. I mean. Prejudice obviously ran rampant. I mean, was there like a black side of town, a white side of town? What was it when you were growing up in Illinois?
Well, I was born in Alton, Illinois, but I was grew up in Missouri, in a small town in Missouri, Union, Missouri. It's a few miles away from Hannibal, the home of Mark Twain, as you know. And we grew up on 56 acres over in Union. And there was no black person, you know, who lived in Ewing. You had a lot of German and farmers around Ewing.
Right.
And naturally, they would had different views about the war. But the first black person I saw, actually, my dad drove me to Quincy, about 20 miles away. And I saw that black person, and I wonder why he's black. You know, that's the first time I saw one. And my dad told me he's a black panther. He explained what he was because they never had never to see one in the union there. He didn't have no reason to have any problem with blacks or no Jewish people lived that near. So it was more or less just a small town which it wouldn't come to your mind because you didn't live around nobody. See?
Right.
Right. Yeah. Did you have something you wanted to add there, Lyndon?
Yes, this is Lyndon. Just that John has spent a reasonable time around my family, and although I'm blonde-haired and blue-eyed, my family is black and immigrant, including my two stepsons. You can tell how he interacts with the kids, that this concept that the rays are racist is fiction from start to finish.
Coming up will be the 40th year anniversary of the assassination of Dr. King. John, your brother, James Earl, was imprisoned after actually pleading guilty to the murder. Can you tell me why you two have waited up till now to write your book, Truth at Last, The Untold Story of James Earl Ray?
Well, you have to look at my history. I was gagged I was institutionalized right after King got killed. Officer Jordan McMillan and otherwise wanted to talk to me. In fact, they went in court and tried to get to see me in a year's old prison, went up in the interview with me, so I was gagged all the way through when I was behind bars. In 1974, I was selling with my brother James in Memphis, Tennessee. He's getting a rehearing or trying to get a retrial. And that's the first I became aware of a lot of stuff that was going on between him and the CIA and the military shooting and all that stuff. I was under a code of silence. I couldn't say nothing about my brother. He got killed in prison. But in 1978 and 1979, I went in front of the House Select Committee on Assassination. They had me there three times. And I kind of hinted at what's going on to them. But about a military shooting, but they didn't want to hear about it. But soon James died in 1998. That same year, I wrote to three different persons and brought out the truth about the shooting and asked for an inquiry.
Right.
I wrote to a year at the Department of Justice in 1999, or it might have been 1998, which had been 10 years ago. Justice Department. Also, I wrote to Barry Kowalski. Janet Reno appointed him as an investigate this King deal, re-investigator, I should say, over again. And he came to my house, Barry Kowalski, there. And I pointed out him about his shooting of James Earl Ray being a connected to the CIA and about his shooting of his black soldiers wasting back in 1948 when he was in the military. And he did not want to hear about it either.
Right.
Nobody wanted to know, did not want to know the truth, see? And so I made a tape, for more or less kind of a history type of tape. And somehow Lyndon got hold of it, and he's interested in history. And that's how it came about.
I have just a quick follow-up question, if I can. And Lyndon, how did you get involved, just very briefly, how did you get involved in this project?
Well, I admired Dr. King very much and began to write James Earl in prison, and it shocked me when I went to see him and spoke to people that he knew that he was not at all the man that he was supposed to be. James Earl Ray was a nice, civilized, intelligent guy and not a murderer whatsoever. And Dr. King's family believed that, and the people that were around Dr. King believed that.
You're African American, correct? Did I understand that correct?
My wife is, and my stepchildren are.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Having family that are African-Americans, how did your family react when you started this project?
I would say that they're slightly fearful of retaliation by the government, but they are absolutely behind me as far as the necessity that truth has to come out. They've met John. They believe that he's truthful. You know, support me.
Okay, well, that leads me to my next question, though, Lyndon. I mean, John, how does any audience, whether it's our audience at AboveTopSecret.com or anybody that you talk to, how does one know that you're telling the truth about all these things?
Well, you have to look at the whole picture. My word's no good because feds, you know, they put me like a certified liar. So everything has to be, my word, everything has to be backed up by paper. And Lyndon got a lot of stuff on the Freedom of Information Act that backs my word up.
Right.
So my word is, I consider my word is worthless after the feds got done with me. So I had to get that information. So Lyndon got all the papers back up. Everything I said was true, see.
All right. Well, then that leads me to the second part of my question is, if your brother was innocent, why did he plead guilty to the crime, John?
Well, it's what I wanted myself. See, he wasn't supposed to plead guilty, so I was shocked when he had a great attorney in Texas, Percy Forman, at that time. See, it's hindsight, too, from my part, because I didn't know what was going on under the table, see. But when I was visiting him in the Shelby County Jail Members' Tenancy in 1974, two questions were on my mind. Why did he plead guilty, and why did the mafia want the king killed? So when he told me in the jail, he said the reason he had to plead guilty was it's going to bring out his worst in shooting, which I had under table, and going to put a racist spin on him, and going to cut the CIA, you know, part out of it, and put him on death row. And they say that provided he gets to, if you get even make it to trial. Well, I think it was referring to the Oswald case. You wanted to talk that kind of stuff, see?
Linda, I got to ask you, I mean, listen to John talk and stuff. When you're doing the research for Truth at Last, you had to comb through, obviously, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of government documents that you got through the Freedom of Information Act. Was there any surprising information that you uncovered?
I would say there was almost nothing but surprising information once you start to look at the fine print. The story that John tells, that his brother shot this African-American soldier named Washington when he was in the Army, is the thing that really made me delve into this case, because I could tell that there was this element of mind control that runs throughout this case. James Earl Ray was seeing all of these hypnotists, really four that I know of.
Right.
How did they know that he was hypnotizable or programmable or druggable when only 5 to 10% of the population is hypnotizable? This story about the shooting of this soldier Washington strikes me as an early mind control project. And indeed, if you look at the surviving 30,000 pages of the CIA's MKUltra mind control file, you'll find four pages which verify that the Army was indeed conducting behavior modification programs at that time, and that it did involve the Army.
Okay, but it still leads me back to if you could pick one thing, what was the most surprising of the things that you uncovered?
I would say it goes back to the Army and the fact that James Earl Ray's Army serial number in the spring of 1948, at about the time that John says this Washington shooting happened, that his Army serial numbers in Army unit history, his Army serial number changed to a different special encoded Army serial number.
Wow.
And not only did it change, but it changed when he was in a unit, the 7838th Vehicle Reserve Vehicle Detachment. And that unit, it's almost the fact that I stumbled across a couple stray sheets of paper that let me know that unit even existed. Because it's not on his official Army history.
Hmm.
So he was in about the time that John talks about James Earl shooting this man. James Earl was in a unit which wasn't on his Army history, and his Army serial number changed. So So it's unusual, very unusual.
In the book, you point out similarities between James Earl and Lee Harvey Oswald. Could you possibly elaborate a little bit on the similarities?
Well, at the time, of course, and I think most people who have delved into clandestine operations know this, that the government, the U.S. government, and its different branches were looking for a Manchurian candidate that could shoot someone and, you know, wouldn't be necessarily traceable to the government. They would shoot someone against their will. And there is an incident like this that actually the Office of Naval Intelligence investigated Oswald for. Oswald reportedly shot a man when he was on duty. That I think the man was Schrand, and the Marines definitely believed that he did it. Of course, Oswald also appears to have done intelligence work, his trip to the Soviet Union immediately after leaving the Army. And John says that James Earl did intelligence work in Chicago for the FBI in an undercover type of position immediately after he left the service.
We know that James Earl received a general discharge rather than a honorable discharge from the Army. I'm just curious, when he was discharged from the Army, was there any type of noticeable personality change in him?
Yes, several family members mentioned that. Bob, my uncle, William Earl, he's deceased now, he probably summed it up best. He said that while James in the Army, the Army must have put him on goofball pills because he acts crazy sometimes. and my father came to the same conclusion. Some of the stuff he did, you know, is kind of off the wall stuff.
Right.
And he never know how I'm going to take him. You know, one time he chewed the window for no reason at all. Stuff like that, see. Another time he got into a fight in the tavern for some silly reason, and he came home and like he's in a trance, and so that was in Quincy here when he first got out of the Army. And now my dad went on to see what happened to this tavern a couple blocks away, and the guy told the bartender. Told my dad he don't know why James went off. He's saying that all of a sudden he went off to his locker, kind of, and he got into the guy next to him. And had quite a bit of blood around there where they had a fight, see. But in a behavior like that, now he didn't do that kind of stuff prior to going into the military, you know what I mean?
Right.
When he got out of the military, I was only 16 years old, and so I didn't know what's going on with him either. See, he seemed like he lose patience with everything. You know, one time I was pushing his automobile ball, and the hood snapped off the top of the radiator, and then when had some type of awning on the front of the hood, but he didn't. He just stood there. He didn't get mad. He just stood there in some type of trance and trying to figure out why did the armament came out the hood. I'd been better if he got on me about it, see?
Right.
But he, you know, just acted kind of strange, you know?
If I could just add one thing to that. Author George McMillan, who's a government-friendly author, attempted to get James Earl Ray's actual Army file from the Army. Now, this was prior to it burning up in a massive fire in 73, prior to the FBI losing it. And the Army responded to him that they couldn't release James Earl's Army file because, and this is almost a direct quote, there are medical aspects to Mr. Ray's file that cannot be disassociated from any discussion of Mr. Ray's military record. Now, isn't that odd?
That's very odd.
Now, what do you think that is, Lyndon?
I think it's drugging and hypnosis. Mind control usually is a combination of a drug like phenobarbital and this programming or hypnosis. Any clinical psychologist can tell you that. And this is exactly what the government was fascinated with for at least 30 years. They spent millions on attempting to create a programmed assassin, or in this case, a programmed reliable patsy, somebody that would hang around. And the personality changes that John is describing really lead one to believe that this happened to this poor young kid in the army.
All right. Well, you know, I got to do a sidebar here because you said something earlier in the interview process, and the movie Manchurian Candidate, even though they may be fictional accounts, that there's a tremendous amount of truth to what movies portray. And in this case, in Manchurian Candidate, I mean, it's almost an exact duplicate of what is being professed here in this interview, is it not?
It is, and it's my understanding that there was a CIA technical specialist that was loaned out to the production company when they were filming the original film.
I want to talk about the trial here, just basically. How close do you think James Earl came to getting a fair trial in 1974, and if not, what do you think prevented it?
Well, his trial was what prevented it. His trial was the other was trying to make a deal with him. Several deals that was on the table. One deal was where he'd get 6 years. It had an extradition agreement from England. Backtrack there a second. It couldn't take him back to Missouri for escape by having moved him back to England if he's found not guilty in membership. Because he's on escape from Missouri State Prison. And what prevented was they tried to make a deal with James and he wouldn't go along with the deal. First, I want to blame it on the Bronkman family, the whiskey family makes that Seagram whiskey up in Canada. He wouldn't go along with it. And then want to blame it on, had him blame it on Kirksey Nicks. He had a Dixie Mafia down in Dallas, Texas. He wouldn't go along bringing it on him either. So it kind of got fed up with him. All of a sudden, the Percy Foreman, who came, Texas attorney Percy Foreman came in on the case, and he came in and saying that there's no evidence that James, he was even in the state of Tennessee against Ardalia King was killed. He said, if I had any evidence, I wouldn't have falsified the extradition warrant to get him back from England.
Right.
And they used a woman, Algie Hardy, to foresight that warrant. It wouldn't have to do that if it had had it. So he said, he told us, me and my brother Jerry, we met him in Texas, and to go back home with nothing to worry about, he'd be out on the street in no time. He didn't think we were going to have a trial. But after he went back to Texas, and a month or two later, I think it was in November, 1968, I guess it was, or 67, I guess it was, he came up and he said they were going to put brothers in. He came and called a family meeting in St. Louis, Percy Woman there. He came up and said they were going to put James on death row. If something come up, he couldn't do nothing about it. He wouldn't tell us why. He said, you have to ask James because I'm not getting into his, what's came up. So that's when the Army record, that's when they come up with his Army shooting, see.
Because we're running a little short on time here, I wanted to get to your visit in 1974 with your brother. Did he happen to share any other information about possibly the conspiracy to kill Dr. Keene with you?
Well, he said he wasn't a trigger man. Raul was a trigger man, but he thought Raul might be dead. He also thought he was going to be killed in Memphis himself. See, I met with Upworth the day before that. He said other people involved. He didn't say other people involved. He said he had to meet other people. I met up with in Arkansas. He said he had to meet up with other people. Where do you use people? So,
how would he have known about Raul?
Who?
You said that he wasn't the trigger man. That Raul was the trigger man.
This is hindsight on the Raul.
Oh,
Raul,
okay.
At the time, I didn't know anything about it. I didn't know anything about Raul at the time. But he said he had to meet up with people across the river.
I see.
That's what the words you use. And I think that's why he bowled out of Memphis. It's in hindsight, too. I didn't know he bowled out of Memphis. I saw it later. where you're driving that car all the way to across the two couple of states, I say.
Right.
And so you're talking about where he's staying in jail in 1974, actually. You know, it's in 1974, it was about 5 years after that. In 1974, the only thing he actually stated was, I asked him about, was about this, why did the mafia want to King kill? Because I know the mafia wouldn't have no M.O. or kill him, or have no reason to. He said it all goes back to Skoggs to the CIA. That's where he come up with that thing. Another question I asked him, but I can't remember what the question was. There's two questions that was really important. I was in Leavenworth, a Marion Federal Prison, rather. And prior to that, I was in Leavenworth, and I almost got Queen Mary alive myself. So I was really mad about what's going down. I didn't know what was going down, see. So when I transferred me to Marion Federal Prison down to Memphis, and that's when we got into it, about that, see.
Right,
and he wouldn't even told me that part of it. But
I want to switch to the member questions because we've got some interesting questions. But while we're on Raul, we have a member by the name of Wally Conley, who and you pretty much answered a lot of Wally's questions. But one of the things he says, John, do you think or have any proof that Raul may have been part of a government plot to get rid of Martin Luther King? In other words, do you have any factual proof to this?
Well, Raul was back, I might put a comparison to it. Raul was back Deep Throat. You remember Deep Throat? They say he did not
right.
exist and all that stuff.
Right.
25 years later, Deep Throat brought down President Nixon, president, and Raul brought down the Civil Rights Leader King about the same time there. Well, they say he did not exist. And 25 or 30 years ago, finally found out that FBI supervisor. Well, the same thing happened to Deep Throat. Nobody gonna come forward on that because that's a death penalty. It's still a death penalty. Raul coming forward with, I see no reason he be coming forward. But well, I'm going on circumstantial evidence about people crossing the river.
Right,
like
right.
He said, as far as who the people was, I don't know. But in that case, Raul was supposed to be somebody's I'm getting out of books about and what he said in the books later. A lot of stuff I'm telling you here by hindsight. Like Raul will be Spanish.
Right.
So he's Spanish. And he also got two different ways to spell his name. One is R-O-U-L, R-A-O-U-L, and R-A-U-L, something like that. But I always thought maybe this is the code name itself, see? You know, you know, so a lot of stuff in hidden files, the face hiding the files, see? The record shows that they only meant to hide the hidden or hiding files.
Sure.
That's all. But getting the files is something else again.
Lyndon, I just want to ask you, since we're talking about files, you have gone over literally thousands of Freedom of Information Act records and other types of files that you were able to come across. In any of these, did you ever happen to come across anything that possibly related to other assassination attempts or subversive acts of violence other than murdering of Dr. Martin Luther King?
To answer that, I'd have to say, you know, that like criminals, the government kind of has a modus operandi. One of the things that when I heard about this Washington shooting that made me sit up and really pay attention to it is there seems to be this element of mind control in the Oswald case. We know for a fact that in 63 he was selling LSD. Certainly the shooting of Bobby Kennedy seems to be rather the same type of affair. I mean, there's no way that Sirhan Sirhan shot Bobby Kennedy behind his right ear from
right.
in front of Bobby Kennedy. So it seems to be the same type of thing. Some would say that the shooting of Ronald Reagan and the murder of John Lennon are similar also in that way.
By the way, I wanted to just point out that was by our member by the name of The Pie Maker, and I apologize, Pie Maker, that I didn't acknowledge your name in the beginning. Dave?
You know, this is the first time in our history that we have the possibility of electing an African-American president or a woman president. As someone has said that's more intelligent than I, in fact, I believe it's Justin Case. You know, we have the first time in the history to elect someone that's not a white man. So what is your take, John? I mean, how do you feel about the fact that we may have a black president? Do you think it's time?
Well, I don't know what it's time. We don't have no Indian president, red race. We don't have no yellow race president. So I don't know what you mean by the time is...
What I mean by it is that we have a chance to have an African-American president for the first time in the history of the United States. Do you, in your personal opinion, believe it's time that the racial barriers be cast aside and that we elect a president that may be a woman or may be a African-American?
Well, I'm more or less an observer in politics. I always assume there's no difference between the Democrat and Republican. As an observer, I find most strange, from my point of view, is the Democrat machine, Bush knife, driving a Bush knife in the back of Hillary Clinton, and you know, like Kennedy's and the Kerr's and Governor Richardson down there in New Mexico. Every time she turned around, very timely on certain dates, she gets a Bush knife. That's what I find mostly, not so much who's the president, was she a president, Obama president, but how the Democrat machine keep using that Bush knife. That's more fascinating to me than who's elected president. See?
All right. Well, Linda, now you're in a very enviable position in that you have African American family members. What is, you know, do you think we're finally to a point, Linda, that we can elect a African-American president?
God, I hope so. It's really a national shame that we should even be speaking of race in this way. We really should have had an African-American president years ago or a woman president years ago. Certainly other countries that we would view as being somewhat less sophisticated than we are, supposedly, had more diverse leaders a long time ago. We have to become one people. We have to become one people. It's long past time. And, you know, Dr. King went into battle in Memphis for us to become one people. And he knew, because one of the local black militant kids from the invaders, Charles Cabbage, told him that he was likely to lose his life in Memphis. The police department was filled with rumors about it. But Dr. King went into battle for this purpose. And it's long past time that we should be in the position to elect a black president, or a woman president for that matter.
This is two questions from two separate people, but I'm going to try to combine them into one question and see what your take is on this. This is by Biggie Smalls and Biden Pseudo, and they both wanted to ask about the MK Ultra mind-altering programs, and they also both kind of wanted to know what it was, in your opinion, or if you may have come across any type of records that made you believe that he was actually eligible to be brainwashed. Was there something about his character or his personality that leads you to believe that he would be a likely candidate?
Well, it's usually people that are imaginative that can be programmed in this way. And an interesting fact that really has never been in print is that in the early 70s, before the Freedom of Information Act was as we know it today, James Earle was actually trying to get his own Army psychological records from the Army. He went through a judge to get them and was unable to get them. But he also, although he didn't speak about it publicly, he also obviously felt that there was something that went on in the Army between, you know, psychologically, of a psychological nature.
We're going to wrap it with the kind of the final question, and to me this really is probably the most important question, and Lyndon, I want your response to it too. But John, I'm going to ask you first. Do you think that the whole truth about Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s assassination will ever be known in our lifetime?
That's the reason I wrote this Truth at Last book, tried to put some heat on some people in Washington to bring out these hidden records. These hidden records an AC imaginary record, if records show are hidden, they say the lost files, and they always got that kind of excuse, a building burned down, something like that. But the hidden record came out through this book, and they might, I think the problem is you should solve one assassination, it opened the door to solve all the rest of them. I think,
right.
You know, it's a barrier falls every year. So I hope it's true for the last book will force people to give a new life to the government, maybe put some pressure on them.
All right, Lyndon, we get about 30 seconds. What would be your response to that also?
I would ask the next president of the United States, hopefully we'll get one more honest than the current president, that he would replace the leadership at the intelligence agencies and start an immediate investigation into past crimes of the intelligence agencies and the military, for that matter.
Where can our listeners find the book at? Is there a website that they can purchase the book at, or is it on Amazon, Lyndon?
Yeah, it absolutely is available at Amazon and all the major outlets.
Well, it's going to be on my website. I'm putting up the 1st of April. The book don't come out until the 1st of April. My book website is ready to go up. It's called johnthetruth.com.
Okay.
And I'll direct where you can buy it on the sale myself, too, see.
We really appreciate both of you being on the show and look forward to our continued collaborations with you down the way.
Thank you, Dale.
Okay, guys. Well, we're going to break, and when we come back, we'll have some interesting things that we're going to talk, and that's our guest with Lyndon Barston and John Larry Ray.
And as a little bit of an add-on, folks, we want to draw your attention to some unknown facts that were just recently discovered. And for that, I'm going to turn this over to Robert Morningstar.
Hi, everyone. This is Robert Morningstar, currently editor of UFO Digest. In the 1990s, I was very involved in the JFK assassination and the Robert Kennedy assassination and, of course, Martin Luther King's death. And I had the privilege of being involved somewhat with the reopening of the James Earl Ray case when I found something called the Miltier Files, and I acquired the tape, which in fact described the plan that they would use in assassinating either Kennedy or Martin Luther King by shooting him from a veranda. That was the plan, and it was voiced in 1963, 5 years before the assassination of Martin Luther King in Memphis, using the same method. The Miltier Files were recorded in Miami, November 8, 1963, and they were a conversation between a high-ranking Ku Klux Klansman named Miltier with an FBI informant named William Somerset. And in there, all the details of the proposed plans to eliminate the Kennedys and Martin Luther King were outlined. One of the important things is the role of the Ku Klux Klan throughout in this scenario between Dallas and Memphis, including the stalking of all of them, in particular King, by one group of the Ku Klux Klan that was led by a Jack Lee Brown. So it's very, very disturbing material to see how far hatred had come across in mobilizing itself toward violence. And so I'm very pleased that I was able to contribute that to the weight of the evidence that opened the trial, a trial which was won by the King family, which named a shooter, which outlined the whole plan. And I recommend that listeners go to the Martin Luther King site where the transcripts are archived and read it for yourself. That's all I want to say, except that justice was achieved for Martin Luther King. And I hope to see the same for justice for JFK. Thank you.
And so we want to thank you all for joining us for this exclusive interview on the ATS Mix.
He's mad as hell, and here's why. Who's ready for a rant? The ATS Mix presents the Rabbit's Rant. In other words, what the hell is ruffling Dave Rabbit's fur this time?
Relax and enjoy yourself.
This is the Rabbit's Rant.
Well, it's time, of course, for the Rabbit's Rant, and of course we've got with us the number one person that could be able to tell us what's worth ranting about, the head rabbit himself.
what's it? HRICC, Head Rabbit in Complete Charge?
I guess.
I don't know what that means. Anyway, yeah, here's my rant, and I've got a picture posted on the show thread so everybody can see it. This is the actual passport photo from the Ayatollah Khomeini's, I think it's his sister or his daughter, I'm not really sure.
A family member.
Yeah, a family member. Her name is Fatima Aisha Khomeini. Now, you can see by the passport photo, I mean, you know, that it has a picture of her. Now, what that outfit is called a burba.
A burba.
Burba. Not bourbon, but burba.
Right.
And so, because they don't allow women's faces to be seen, obviously they can't be photographed. So, Iran, in all their majestic knowledge, decides, I guess, that they want to have them do their passport photos with a burba on. Now, John, now here's my rant about this. I mean, I saw this and I thought, this is asinine. This is ridiculous. This is stupid. Now, I'm going to tell you why. Okay, I understand that they're entitled to do passports however they want to do it in their country. Fine. I don't have a problem with that. Okay, but let's say her blue burba is in the laundry and she has to pull out the red one.
Yes.
Okay? Well, obviously, that's not going to match her passport photo.
Right.
So, I mean, how do they determine if it's the real Fatima Aisha Khomeini? Do they strip search or what?
It could be. And how would you know that you were strip searching the right Fatima?
There you go.
And here's another problem I got with this. All right. You said that maybe the blue one was in the wash, and so she's wearing the red one. Well, now, if she goes to some gangland portion of the United States, you know, say South Central Los Angeles area, and, you know, the gang members there, if you're wearing red and you show up in blue, you're going to get shot. So that's got to be a problem right there, you know. Does she have an Iranian call sign that she does, you know, with her hands?
I have no idea. Yeah, but I mean, what drives me crazy is this photo is the same thing as if we in the United States or any other country that has legitimate passport photos would go to the passport office,
right?
And we would stand up on a chair, turn around, and drop our drawers and have our buttocks photographed, because it's the same thing. I mean, how can you tell one buttocks from another buttocks? I mean, there'd be some fatter, some thinner, whatever. Same thing here. You got a blue burba, a red burba, a green burba, a purple burba, a yellow burba. I mean, how the hell do they keep track of people if this is the way of identifying the women in Iran? I don't understand that.
Well, let me take it a step further here as far as photographs go. Does that mean that the Lone Ranger now couldn't get his photograph taken with the mask? You know, he would have to be unmasked.
Well, yeah. Well, see, and then that destroys the whole mystique about the Lone Ranger.
Right.
I mean, who wants to know that? And Tonto's another thing. You take off all his clothes. He didn't have a mask, did he? Sorry. Then you got a naked Indian. And then he can go up to Springer's place and play Cowboys and Indians with Cracker and Springer up there in the Indian territory. Sorry, this has kind of gone sidebar. But anyway, my rant basically is, I think this is absolutely ludicrous and stupid. I'm sorry if this offends any of our Iranian fans. Yeah, right. But, you know, come on, give me a break. You know, get a passport photo where you can see who the hell the person is, because this is asinine.
Well, you know, I'd like to see a photograph of you, Dave Rabbit, in a burba. And the only way we'd really know, it wouldn't matter what color the burba was, we'd still see your rabbit ears sticking out of the top. So.
See? And that would give it away.
That would give it away.
Anyway, that's my rant for the week. So until next time, hope everybody enjoyed the show. Great show. We had a lot of fun with the show. Great guest with the John Ray and Lyndon, his partner in the book. And also we got to talk to Cracker and of course, the Billinator. And it was a great show, John. I had a lot of fun with it.
Absolutely. And we want to remind everybody that we have some sound offs that we'd like you to respond to, and we have a toll-free number. That number is 1-877-417-2204. And you know what? If you don't want to respond to one of the sound-offs, or you don't want to ask Dave and Johnny a question, you can just call up and leave us a message, and we'll post it. We'll let everybody in the world hear what you got to say.
Yeah. Yeah, if you, yeah, you want to do your own sound off. Pick a topic. We don't care.
There you go. You know? Pick your own topic.
Just want member participation. We don't care what it's about as long as it's TNC.
And that means terms and conditions.
And FCC, which is...
Yeah, don't use the seven words that George Carlin uses.
All right, well, until next time, I'm Dave Rabbit.
And I'm Johnny Ananos. We'll catch you next time on the ATS Mix.
ATS Mix from AboveTopSecret.com is over.
You've been listening to the ATS Mix with Dave Rabbit and Johnny Ananos. If you have a comment, suggestion, an opposing view, or would like to participate in a future show of ATS Mix, please contact Dave or Johnny at www.AboveTopSecret.com. The views expressed on ATS Mix do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of the Above Network, LLC, or any of its affiliates. Thanks for listening. You may now reattach your tinfoil hat.